The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Thanks for listening and being part of the George Christensen Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
G'day, I'm George Christensen, former Australian politician, here on TNT Radio's The George Christensen Show. And we're joined by independent media personality, independent journalist, Maria Z. She's got zmedia.com. She also runs The Zero Hour, and she's been on popular overseas shows, InfoWars, The Stu Peters Show. She's been a powerhouse, actually exposing the plans for globalist takeovers, globalist plots, via the Great Reset with organizations such as the World Economic Forum, the UN, the World Health Organization, big governments, big pharma, big corporations. The list goes on and on. Maria Z has been taking him on, but for all of her troubles, it seems that she has now had the targets put on her, because just this month she's been debanked. The bank that she was with, ING, suddenly said to Maria, "I'm sorry, but you're going to have all your accounts closed. We don't want to do business with you anymore." And what's worse than that is that they wouldn't give her a single reason as to why. Maria joins us. How are you going, Maria?
George, that was quite the introduction. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to all the listeners today.
Well, you've been through the ringer this past month. We've talked about this, and I've got a whole heap of information from you on this matter. But essentially, you sort of found out something was wrong, right, before you were officially told something is wrong. How did this all start? How did your sort of antennas pick up that there's something amiss here with my banking structure?
Yes, well, approximately 1 month ago, I think it was, I'd noticed that my bank card wasn't working at most ATMs. In fact, in my entire city, as far as I could see, only two ATMs were working for me. So I actually rang ING at the time to see whether there was anything wrong with my card or my account, or whether there were any flags on their end, maybe my banking practice, I don't know, anything that would be restricting my card. And they advised there was nothing showing on their end, no red flags, offered to send me a new card. I rejected at the time because it would be 10 business days. And I said, if you're assuring me everything's fine, I'll just keep using these two ATMs. What can I do? And then on the 9th of March, they emailed me to say that my accounts would be closed. Access to these accounts stopped within a week, and then complete closure within 2 weeks. And they also said that I would not be allowed to open any accounts in future with ING. So I called them on the 10th of March. They confirmed that the email was in fact from them, and they transferred me to a specialist team to get some answers, but I wasn't really given any answers, George. In fact, the specialist team advised that they didn't have a copy of the email. They asked me to read the email to them and then just repeated the same generic information that was contained in the email, which was, "We're closing your bank accounts, no reasons provided." It was quite bizarre. So, I mean, I know myself.
Did they actually, sorry to interrupt, but did they actually say that? Like, when you, of course, I could just imagine how this phone call was going down. I've talked to these type of people before. Simply, they're just corporate bureaucrats, and they will just go round and round and round and round and round and round in circles, wasting your time almost. But when you actually said to them, you know, "What is the reason?" What did they say?
They just repeated the email. They just said all information regarding this matter is in the email. I don't want to misquote them, but essentially that's what they said, which, of course, in the email, and that's available publicly. I actually presented screenshots of their email in the Zero Time broadcast that we did last week on zmedia.com. So there really was no information as to why this had occurred.
I've got it. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, it's I mean, I shouldn't laugh. It's not a funny matter, but I mean, I've seen correspondence from ING before because I almost opened a bank account with them, and they've sent you this thing with their PR or their style guide where they're supposed to have something nice written atop the across the top in their sort of yellow-backed font they've got there. But the yellow-backed font says, your accounts are about to be closed, which I find completely and utterly bizarre that they'd try and spruce that statement up.
It is bizarre indeed.
And then they just go on saying, we're writing to tell you about the following accounts that you have with us. They list the accounts. We're writing to let you know that we'll be placing stops on those accounts 16th of March. This means you'll not be able to make any withdrawals from those accounts after that date. And we're going to close those accounts on the 23rd. How your accounts will be closed. They'd go through that. But they don't give any information as to why. There's nothing here saying, you've done this wrong, you've breached this policy. So they couldn't tell you. How many times did you ask them?
I asked several times. I could say I've lost count of how many times I asked George. And then, I went through a mental, you know, racking my brain as to why this might have occurred. But I can say hand on heart, my banking practices, I don't think there's anything wrong with them. You know, everything that Z Media does is above board as far as the tax system is concerned. And, you know, I can't think of a reason. So I asked them, George, the only question that I could think, the only reason I could see left, which was, do you shut down people's accounts due to their political views by any chance? And I was met with a radio silence for several seconds before being placed on hold.
Right.
So
that the silence probably spoke volumes.
Well, you know, I can't say for certain, George. I mean, I as I said, they won't give me a reason, but, you know, she came back, the representative, after that and just repeated that all the information that they could give me was within that email. So being media, we contacted their PR manager and asked some questions, and she came back saying that, you know, due to confidentiality, we're not able to discuss any account closures. Well, hang on, customer confidentiality. So I went back to them and I said, hang on, I am the customer. Perhaps you can discuss it with me because it's me. But no, we haven't had a response to that email, George.
I got to say that I read that in the list of documents that you gave me. We're unable to discuss any account closures due to customer confidentiality. It's like if you got that from government, that'd be something straight out of Yes Minister, sending that to the actual customer. We can't discuss it with you for customer confidentiality. Completely and utterly bizarre. But, Maria, this, you know, you are left, I'm assuming you're left in zero doubt that this is all to do with your work, with your strenuous work you do as a reporter, as someone that, you know, uses all social media channels to get information out on the World Economic Forum, the UN, the globalist agenda. That's what this is about, right?
I can't say for certain, George, but what I can tell people quite openly is that the timing suspiciously coincides with the Channel 9 hit piece, which was published by 60 Minutes. It featured a story of what they claimed was an investigation into the Weambla tragedy, and it was a tragedy. It wasn't, from what I could see in that program, there was very little investigation happening. It was just a bunch of opinions with very little official police reports presented. But within that hit piece was a video of me warning the Australian people about an official publication from defence.gov.au. So, you know, and in that piece, they went to a lot of effort to present anyone who dares ask questions about the government or thinks that there's some sort of a a negative agenda here, an agenda that works against the people of the world rather than for them, they are essentially a domestic terrorist and lumped in with police killers. I mean, it's absolutely deplorable the way that this is being presented, both by the mainstream media and the Queensland Police Service, might I add. And so, you know, casting doubt on people who believe in the Bible, or casting doubt, labeling anyone who questions the government as a crazy conspiracy theorist, it's just deplorable. It needs to stop. But again, George, I'll just say again that the timing does coincide with that hit piece. So my question was, is the mainstream media in Australia and Australian banks, are they colluding together to silence anyone who dares ask questions about this very, very sinister organisation, the World Economic Forum, which the ING Group just happens to be a partner of?
Mm-hmm. So the interesting parallel to myself, and I've told you about this, but some of the listeners might not know, the Australian Financial Review, which is one of nine newspapers, actually, by the by, it put out an article attacking me because I was using PayPal as a donation button on my website. And he was saying, on the one hand, while I'm going off about the World Economic Forum, I've got the PayPal button on it, and the head of PayPal sits on the board of the World Economic Forum. And, you know, well, actually, they did have a point. I actually did not know at that point that the head of PayPal sat on the World Economic Forum. I might have thought twice about using PayPal. But about 2 weeks after that, I get an email from PayPal saying, you're off. You know, we've restricted your account and you're permanently banned from using it for life. I must have been some little antenna at the back of my head that was going up, because what I was doing was clearing my PayPal daily. And luckily, at the point where they restricted the account, there was nothing in the account, nothing for them to restrict. So, but there's a strong parallel there. I know you've already been debanked, so to speak, by PayPal, and we might talk about that in a while.
Yes.
But the point is that there's an article, surprise, surprise, from Nine. Then there's an action by a financial institution. Now, those two things could be really directly linked, either by the financial institution seeing a name, seeing themselves associated with that name, and then going, oh, we better do something here to disassociate ourselves, or it could be the media actually feeding the information directly to the financial institution. I just wonder, and I had the painful experience of watching that 60 Minutes segment because of what happened to you. And it was a painful experience because the people that they interviewed for that, it was just all this was to throw everyone who questions anything about government into the barrel of being a conspiracy theorist. It was then linking conspiracy theorists with the idea of domestic terrorism, right?
Yes.
That's what the whole thing was lined up for. And the segment in which they put you on was a montage of a whole heap of social media video clips. And I can say half of them were just pastors preaching Christian messages. And I thought, what's that got to do with it? You know, like, these Christian messages weren't necessarily extreme or bizarre, but anyway, apparently that's lumped in with the idea of conspiracy theorists and now domestic terrorism in the eyes of the fake news legacy media. But I noted that they put you on. Did they run your name there, Maria? Was it clear that it was Maria Z, or would someone have to deduce that it was you?
No, I don't. I think they'd be far too scared to do that, George, because if you go onto zmedia.com, you see interviews with every single top doctor in the world who's been speaking out against the COVID injections that are now, you know, directly linked to Australia's excess mortality death of over 15%, which, by the way, the Senate voted against investigating. Senator Babbitt put forward a motion and the Senate voted against. In what normal world would Australian senators not want to know why our excess deaths are at over 15%. But as I said, you go to zmedia.com and you see interviews with the inventor of the mRNA technology. You see interviews with the most published cardiologist in history, Dr. Peter McCullough. And so there's far too much, I think, medical evidence on there to draw attention to zmedia.com. so they used an American broadcast instead.
Yeah, right. So the issue could be then one where some eagle eye at ING has spotted you, has known that.
Well, let me say, George, it's not. It wouldn't be. And the reason is because the notice for the debanking happened before the publishing of that hit piece.
There you go. Okay. Well, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of that. Therefore, if there is a link, it would be the media directly contacting ING to tell them that they are doing a story and wondering why they're banking with you, or why you're banking with them, rather. So that may be how that is all tied up there. We're going to talk more about this after the break here on The George Christensen Show. We're interviewing independent journalist Maria Zee, who has been debanked by multinational banking giant ING. It would be one of the first, perhaps even the first, crystal clear case of someone being debanked in Australia for their political views. This discussion happening here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Steve Hook.
It looks like Comer and the House Oversight Committee has got the goods on the Biden family. The question now becomes, how long will it be before the media actually acknowledges what Comer and the committee has found? But a lot of folks are probably not going to find out about this for a while. My suspicion is the media will do what the media does, and they will bury a lot of this info. But I would sure love to know why the CCP is wiring millions and millions and millions of dollars to Joe Biden and Biden family members, his brothers, his son, and one member that has yet to been, Comer, he said, we're not going to tell you who that is just yet. I don't know if Vegas is taking odds on this, but I'd be willing to bet that Dr. Jill Biden is up there in the voting. And if it comes down that Jill Biden is getting paid from the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, boy, wouldn't that be something.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
The digital ID will be the collar around our necks. Their power is only what we allow them to have. Don't comply at all costs. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
You're joined by George Christensen here on The George Christensen Show on TNT Radio. And we're talking with independent journalist Maria Zee of Zee Media, who has actually been debanked by her bank, ING. Let's talk about ING Bank for a little while, Maria, because you have been an outspoken opponent of the World Economic Forum. And surprise, surprise, in your digging, and it didn't take too long, you found links. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's right. But it's not just ING that are listed as partners of the World Economic Forum or attendees. You'll find that most major banks are. And this really does tie in to the conversation that you just had before with Father Lazarus, which, by the way, what an amazing man he is. It's so encouraging to hear an Orthodox priest speaking out about these important issues, which I think affect every Christian. But most major banks are. And the problem that we have, George, is we have organizations like the World Economic Forum with its cartoon-ish leader, Klaus Schwab, talking about the fact that they've penetrated cabinets worldwide, you know, essentially in no uncertain terms, infiltrated governments all over the world with their Marxist ideology. And they very much are pushing for central bank digital currencies. They've been speaking a lot about blockchain, CBDCs, all of the above. And so, you know, it's very alarming to consider that now we have a situation where there's a run on the banks. It seems like people are damned if they do, damned if they don't. If they don't leave the smaller banks, which aren't secure, their money's at risk. If they do leave, we're at risk of a run on the smaller banks and, you know, pushing everyone into these major banks that seem to, most of them, I'd say, if not all, have links to the WEF. And so, you know, we're very quickly progressing into a society where if you say or even think the wrong thing, your ability to trade within the economy is switched off at a moment's notice. Now, I said this story, what happened to me with ING, you know, is one example, if it is politically motivated, of you know, okay, they gave me a week. What happens to everyone when the banks have complete control of absolutely everything you do and say, and they switch off your bank account in an instant because now we're all hooked up to the grid? I mean, this is where we're going, and this is what they want. And they've been very clear about their desire to control speech, to censor speech. We've had proof of government officials, sorry, the FBI, colluding with Twitter to censor Stanford University professors and doctors that have far more medical experience than a Twitter employee without a medical degree, let me tell you. And so, you know, the agenda here is incredibly clear, George. I'm not the first person this has happened to. I spoke to a former military veteran from Canada, Jeremy McKenzie. He was given a week by Nova Scotia Bank to organize a new mortgage. And, you know, this practice by these banks, you know, if there is a reason, let's say the reason is banking practices, for example, tell people and give them an opportunity to correct their so-called banking practices that you don't agree with. But regardless of the reason, it's absolutely horrendous and unacceptable that banks would be doing this to people. You know, you go and apply for a loan now and you get asked the question, have you ever been rejected for a loan? And if you say yes, that will impact that financial organization's willingness to have you as their customer. So now I've had a black mark, you know, anonymously put on my name, potentially no proof of the fact that I've done anything wrong. What will happen in future to me if I go to open a new bank? What will happen, you know, in future to people when they are debanked? How many times do they get a black mark on their name by their bank when CBDCs are in full force before they can no longer even have a bank account? These are very, very serious issues that affect every Australian, not just the ones who are outspoken, George.
Yeah, you're 100% right on that. And, of course, you know, as you've said, other people have experienced this. In fact, the National Center for Public Policy Research over in the US has been like a dog with a bone on this issue, because in the US it's been pretty widespread, this practice. They you know, started banning or debanking people who they thought were on the political fringe. Of course, that's where they all start and no one says anything, and then suddenly it becomes less and less fringe and more mainstream, and in this case it was mainstream conservative activists and organizations that were associated with support of then Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, and even organizations that were just on what the banks thought was the wrong side of an argument, such as climate change or the gender fluidity debate or what have you. These people started finding letters or emails being received saying, hey, you've got 1 week or we're shutting down your account. Some of you just suggested in more recent times have been told instantaneously your funds have been cut and that's it. Kanye West being one of them, for reasons that everyone knows, Donald Trump Jr. being another one. So it's been pretty prolific over in the USA. And the interesting thing, Maria, the National Center for Public Policy Research points out all the while that they were debanking conservatives, they were still happy to have Jeffrey Epstein's account. And that was
that
particularly...
That comes as no surprise to me. No surprise to me at all. But you're not wrong where you say that it's potentially the first time that it's happened in Australia. It is in the sense that I am an independent journalist that is very, very outspoken and has the reach that I do. There have been some isolated cases, but not someone at this scale in the independent media space, and certainly not immediately following or immediately in the immediate time frame of a mainstream media production labeling me in the same category as domestic terrorists. That is a first. So again, then there's the other question. If the banks are colluding with the mainstream media, who is constantly lying to the Australian people, and if they decide to concoct some sort of an accusation like they have in this instance about me, or at least an inference, who's holding the mainstream media accountable for their lies and their labeling of the people? And then the potential repercussions for people. What's to say that they don't grab footage of someone disagreeing with, a drag queen story time, and the next thing you know, that person's bank account is shut off just because the mainstream media painted them in a certain light? It's a very, very slippery slope, George. And we certainly, the mainstream media have been responsible for so much destruction in society. We need to demand as people that this collusion with the mainstream media and these institutions stops immediately. And you can just look at, for example, the grants that people like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave to publications like The Guardian who claim that they depend on public support, all the while taking money from Bill Gates to promote vaccines. I mean, they ask for these guys have the gall to ask for donations after getting millions from Gates. So this, but what I want to say, George, is that it is shifting in the sense that people really are only watching, say, the mainstream for propaganda updates. They're not really paying attention to anything that they say anymore because they are liars. We just need the rest of the Australian population and the people who haven't realised this yet to come on board. But they are, and their dwindling numbers are evidence of that.
I agree with you there. It is very much dwindling. In fact, I like to refer to the mainstream media not as the mainstream media but as the fake news legacy media, because I think that it is history. It's probably on the way out. Numbers are dwindling, ratings are dwindling, newspaper readership is dwindling, and even their online views are dwindling as the media environment becomes more and more democratic. And by that I mean that there is a decentralization, which is interesting how you've sort of just gone to describe what near sounds to me like banks engaging in fact-checking around certain people and then using that fact-check from a quite partisan media organization to actually justify their own decisions, even though they don't want to come out and actually say that's the process that we've engaged in. And if that is the process that they are engaging in, we really are in some dangerous, dangerous territory, some deep water with a lot of sharks about, because these fact checkers, as you would know, you go back and you have a look, where did your funding come from? And there's one big one in Australia. It's the one that's run by the ABC, the RMIT Fact Lab, or at least they partner with the ABC. And you go back and say, well, where did you get your money from? And we have a look, and they get it from a handful of institutes. And one of them is Poynters. And then you go back and have a look, well, where did you get your money from, Poynters? And you go back, eventually you get back to the Open Society Foundation. And that is George Soros. And that is one of the World Economic Forum acolytes. So, it doesn't take too long to work out where they're coming from. And if we're going to have, as you suggest, media dictating to banks, or at least suggesting to banks who they shouldn't be having on their books and who they should have on their books, we are going to be in a very, very dangerous, dangerous place. But I want to get back to the idea of you being the first, if not the first, certainly one of the first to have been debanked in Australia. Now, of course, we had David Onegs. He's been on the show only last week. He mentioned that he'd been debanked. There was an issue there to do with a charity. The bank used that excuse. I know that Dave Onegs pushed back against that and said that that was defamatory. But they had some sort of excuse that they could bundle up the Dave Onegs thing with, say, no, we didn't debank Onegs over his political views. It was about this. But Maria, they have not produced anything like that in your case, have they? There has been literally nothing Correct. To justify why they've done it. They Yep. haven't told you anything publicly since. They haven't said anything publicly since about this at all?
No, and I even, you know, responded to Megan Landora, their PR manager, saying, you know, clarifying for her, well, I can appreciate customer confidentiality, but in this case it doesn't apply because I am the customer. Perhaps now you can respond. And I've received nothing. And I will say again, I've said it publicly, but I'll say it again, ING are welcome to respond at any time. I'll happily publish that response, but no, I've not received anything in return.
And how long since you sent that email to them?
That email was the same day, 10th of March.
10th of March, so we're talking like over 2 weeks now that email went to them and no responses to justifying why you've been debanked. So I've said that banks in Australia have acted in a political way, but it's more in an industry way, in a political way in terms of the industry that someone is in, and they have debanked people before in Australia. What I'm talking about, though, is sectors that, you know, currently are seen as unfashionable by the mainstream media and by the woke crowd, and particularly by the green left crowd. So the coal industry, there have been clear cases where businesses have been debanked as a result of their involvement in that sector. The live export industry, there also have been clear cases where banks have debanked businesses, or they won't take on their business because of their involvement in that sector. One of them, like Bank Australia, they're just upfront about it. They just say, we're not going to do business with these sort of people in these sectors. And I think to myself, wow, banks. There was a Royal Commission that was held into banks, showed a lot of unethical practices, and here are you guys moralising at all these other industries. I don't think you have the right to even consider moralising. So, but yet they do. They do. And that's bad enough. But we've now entered what is a brand new world where they've got the power, the ability, the gumption, and no accountability when they're going to just start flicking people off their books for what they might say, for their political views.
Well, that's right, George, and say you are not even journalists. Again, this will apply to everyday Australians if CBDCs successfully go through. Say you are labelled a climate change denier, for example, and you're left with only four big banks that all think that climate change is the greatest catastrophe that humanity could possibly face, like they did with, you know, COVID. It's the greatest threat to our existence. And anyone who doesn't agree with that is labeled, you know, a misinformation spreader and God knows what else. I mean, yeah. not to mention the loss of business, the loss of social media accounts, all of the things that people faced for disagreeing with the government. So imagine when you're facing something like what they say is going to lead to the extinction of the world, which, by the way, they've been saying for decades and it hasn't happened yet. But and not to mention the poor science around what they call climate change. But you know, say you disagree with that and say you don't want to stop using your gas stove because it's economical for yeah. you. You know, and then you're only left with four banks that all think that you using your gas stove is going to end the world tomorrow. You don't have a choice but to comply with their dictates. You cannot deny that the whole world and corporations see the Great Reset is a corporate takeover. This is what people need to understand. And so the corporations, and we saw this during COVID, George, where, you know, a big business was essential and mom and dad business wasn't. So you could go into Woolworths, for example, that was safe with, you know, 3,000 people walking through the store in one day, but going to your local mom and dad veggie store where people could social distance and, you know, may only have 20 customers in the day. That was somehow unsafe. So there's this big push towards big business eliminating the middle class, you know, everyone being poor and eating bugs and whatnot, which, by the way, Italy just banned, which is fantastic. But, you know,
wow, did they?
They sure did. They sure did. They said, when you are not to use this in flour, we're not doing this. So that was a great win for the people.
More power to Georgia. Yeah.
But, you know, this is how it's going to go, George. And it's very, very concerning for every Australian. And here's the point that Jeremy McKenzie, the military veteran I brought up before, raised that has stuck with me ever since I interviewed this man. He said to me, you may be a Democrat or a leftist or, you know, Labor or whatever, right? Today, you may agree with the government wholeheartedly and you may never, or you may disagree, you know, you may never disagree with them. Sorry, but your child in 5 years' time, who's maybe a teenager now, in 5 years doesn't like something that the government says or does. Your child may be debanked one day for that. Your child may be targeted by the weaponized mainstream media for that. Your child may be labeled a domestic terrorist because one day they disagree. And you know what? They may agree today, but in 5 years' time, they don't like something. Oops, you're not allowed to disagree anymore because we've got our technocratic totalitarianism set up. And that is the danger. And every single person, including those that currently agree wholeheartedly with the government, is at risk.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. That guy is spot on. We're going to continue more on this conversation after the break here on the George Christensen Show on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
What happens to a person who tweets out that homosexuality is invading the church? Well, if your 37-year-old Christian theology lecturer, Dr. Aaron Edwards at the Methodist-run Cliff College in England, you get fired. According to the Christian Post, Edwards, who has worked there for 7 years, told the Telegraph he was also threatened with a counter-terrorism referral by the school. Here's what he tweeted. Homosexuality is invading the church. Evangelicals no longer see the severity of this because they're busy apologizing for their apparently barbaric homophobia, whether or not it's true. This is a gospel issue, he said. And for that, the father of five got the boot for what the school called misconduct, which had brought the institution into disrepute. He argued that maintaining an evangelical stance was crucial for the institution's student base and heritage. Dr. Edwards is currently considering legal action and appealing his termination with support from Christian Concern. He also set up a crowdfunder where he's asking people to contribute if they wish. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Oh, yeah, that's the stuff. Oh, I haven't been through the car wash in ages. My gears are all clogged up and my wheels are as stiff as boards. Oh, and you could do with driving me a little more sensibly. All that revving actually increases CO2 emissions. Changing gears at lower revs can save you money too. And they say us cars don't care about the environment. Honestly, I don't know why I bother. Oh, yes, oh, just there. That's not...
Are you thinking what your car's thinking? Find out how to drive down your emissions and fuel costs by up to £120 a year at tfl.gov.uk.
You're listening to George Christensen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
G'day, this is George Christensen here on the George Christensen Show. We're joined by independent reporter Maria Z of Z Media, who has been debanked this month. Her bank, ING Bank, have actually said to her, we're closing all your accounts. And there's nothing you can do about it. You've just got to go. And they've given no reason as to why, but, you know, look, owner's going to call it. We know the reason why. The reason is Maria is an independent journalist who often speaks on her show, Zero Time and ZMedia.com, about sensitive issues that the mainstream media don't like us talking about. She talks about the Great Reset. She talks about globalist agendas. She talks about the United Nations. She talks about the World Economic Forum and their impact on sovereign nations like Australia. And that's important stuff to talk about because, I've got to tell you, there's hardly anyone from the mainstream media that's talking about that sort of stuff. So for her troubles, she has been debanked. Now, Maria, you might not have found this, but I want to read you something from AUSTRAC. AUSTRAC is the National Government Tracking Agency for Financial Crime, and they released a statement back in 2021, October 2021, about debanking. They warned Australian banks about debanking. I'm going to read a little bit at length here. They said the loss or limitation of access to banking services can have a devastating impact on individuals and their businesses. The closing of accounts in entire industry sectors leads to debanked businesses being less open about the nature of their business relationships with banks. This increases the difficulty to distinguish lawful activity from unlawful activity, which can have consequential impacts on law enforcement and our efforts to uplift capability and understanding. It also requires debanked businesses to change financial institutions frequently, which leads to banks having a less sophisticated understanding of expected transaction types and volume due to limited historical data. Contrary to managing and mitigating risk, these activities lead to criminal activity moving underground and compounds the risk criminals pose to Australia's financial system and the community. They make it more blunt when they say this: the effect of debanking of legitimate and lawful businesses can increase risks of money laundering and terrorism finance and negatively impact Australia's economy. For this reason, AUSTRAC continues to discourage the indiscriminate and widespread closure of accounts. AUSTRAC, the National Criminal Finance Tracking Agency, says to the banks, do not do this to legitimate and lawful businesses and individuals because it doesn't help us when we're looking for bad guys, and yet they continue to do it. I don't understand, and I'm asking you to speculate here. Let's just assume, Maria, that they have debanked you because of the work you're doing on ZMedia.com and the work you've done with Zero Time and on the Stupida Show and on InfoWars and, you know, the whole litany of work that you have done. Let's just assume that they have debanked you for that reason. Why on earth do they do that now? And why on earth do they do that after AUSTRAC tells them, don't do this, guys?
Well, I think that it doesn't really matter to them what AUSTRAC says. I don't think it matters to them what anyone says. See, a lot of the bodies that are in Australia that are supposed to be ensuring corruption and everything it doesn't occur and everything's above board and you know, all of the above, are simply ineffective these days. The TGA is a perfect example. They're supposed to ensure everything's safe and effective. Well, we didn't have much of that happening, did we?
Good point.
And, you know, it's the Australia, unfortunately, and sorry to break it for anyone who's listening who doesn't know this, is not run by the Australian government. We are, as with all other countries, subservient to organisations like the World Economic Forum, which, by the way, isn't at the top of the food chain either. They're a front. But you've got organisations like the Bilderbergers and these secret elites or self-proclaimed elites that have been meeting for decades to coordinate this global takeover through, you know, through corporations. So, you know, again, TGA is a perfect example of how all these organizations that are funded by the taxpayer, paid for by the taxpayer to ensure that our country is functioning as it should, don't are completely ineffective. In fact, more than that, they're not just ineffective, George. They're corrupt. Just today, I reported on the fact that the TGA knew that that Pfizer, as of January 2021, if I'm not mistaken, that there were problems with the I'm trying to get the exact wording for you. I'm just bringing it up while we're talking. Dr. John Campbell reported on this. The systemic distribution of lipid nanoparticles known by the TGA in January 2021, according to the TGA's own documents. I have watched Professor Skerritt repeatedly avoid questions by Senator Gerard Rennick in Senate estimates on this exact topic. On this exact issue, and to the TGA's own documents stated that this was problematic. And Senator Rennick was onto this a long time ago. And the TGA these organizations think they're above accountability, and they don't answer. Yeah. And so, not only are they not functioning as they should, they're actually functioning against the Australian people. It's very, very dangerous.
It is extremely dangerous when this happens. But look, I actually, as much as I think that, well, the entire vaccine, I shouldn't even call it vaccine, that entire jab propaganda that was pushed upon us was horrific. This, what you are experiencing, is terrifying because, you know, in this world, your access to finance, your own money, is a lifeline. It literally can be a lifeline.
Yes.
And so when it's ended, and imagine you've got nowhere to go. Imagine all the banks suddenly say, we're not dealing with person X because of their views on climate change or because of their views on the World Economic Forum or because of their views on the independent voice to Parliament or the Indigenous voice to Parliament, I should say, whatever it may be. If you are suddenly blacklisted, you've got nowhere to go, how the hell are you going to earn a living?
That's
how
right.
How are you going to make money?
With mandates, you still had the option to say, okay, no, I'm not going to work there. I'll work somewhere else with a company that doesn't discriminate against my medical choices. If all the banks start working in collusion to make sure that anyone who disagrees with the government can't function as a member of society, you don't have the option. You either toe the line and comply with their nonsense and eat your bugs, or you don't feed your family this week. How do you like that, Australia?
And that's why this is a word that I've used it with you before in a private conversation, but I'm not mincing words when I say this is tyranny. It's not a government doing it. It's a private financial corporation. And it might end up becoming private financial corporations, but nonetheless, there is a word for when big, powerful institutions start saying, no, we're going to now do something that impacts your life because we disagree with your political views or the questions you're asking or the points of view that you're putting across. We're going to really negatively impact on your life. That is tyranny, and it is totalitarianism. It really is. It might not be government doing it, but it's all part of the system that we have to work in. And I can tell you, we have really, really entered a dangerous place. The one question I know that you asked aloud, Maria, when all of this is going on, was that, is this the beginning of a social credit system in Australia? And I'm going to ask you that very question right now. Again, let's assume that what ING has done has been because of your work. Nothing else. Let's just assume that that's the reason why they've done it. It's what we're now seeing, the beginning of a social credit system in Australia.
Yes, the beginning of a social credit system in Australia started, with online censorship. limiting your public discourse, not allowing you. And mind you, George, a lot of people's businesses were affected by things like shadow banning and censoring of their accounts and deleting them off the internet. You know, Z Media is the most banned independent media platform in Australia. I could tell you that I got banned off LinkedIn. My entire career, I was on LinkedIn. And all of my, yes, wow. LinkedIn, all of my contacts from my career were taken off me. I can't communicate with all those people that I worked with my entire life. So that is deleting me from the corporate public square, essentially from the professional public square. Then I was deleted off Twitter twice. Then I was deleted, banned, shadow banned.
Are you back on there with Elon?
No, he hasn't reinstated my previous accounts. I have a new account, and thankfully, okay. I haven't been banned there yet. I was almost, I was warned when I went to share something that I did on InfoWars because Elon takes issue with Alex Jones, but that's okay. It's not okay, but anyway, what I'm saying is for the most part, I've been able to speak quite freely on there. Facebook, I've been on a permanent ban, a permanent punishment since April of last year.
Facebook is the worst. Absolutely the worst.
But here's the thing. We've all become so desensitized to this shadow banning from the beginning when the president of the United States was taken off from social media, banned. That should have been a huge alarm. Yes, to everyone. You can't take the president of the United States, whether you like him or not. And mind you, you've got known terrorists still allowed on Twitter. Like, you know, the leader of the Taliban's allowed to tweet. Hang on a minute. Something's very wrong here. So the social credit system, or at least the conditioning for it, started a long time ago, George. And we were just, it was accelerated during COVID. It was accelerated with terms like misinformation, disinformation. I want people to understand all of that was just the baby steps. COVID will look like child's play as the great late Dr. Zelenko once said to me, compared to what these people have in store for everyone. So this isn't to cause fear, it's to cause action. Understand that your income is at risk. Understand that your medical freedom is at risk. And they're not done with injections, believe you me. Just look at WHO's Immunization Agenda 2030, where they say they want to introduce 500 new vaccines by 2030. Did you hear that? 500. So I mean, and right now we have secret meetings that have been taking place by the Australian, unelected representatives of Australia going and meeting with the World Health Assembly to sign us onto these IHR amendments, where we are going to give over our country's sovereignty in terms of our medical choices to Tedros, who is a known terrorist, for goodness sake. Who has withheld life-saving medications from people in Ethiopia during a previous outbreak. Sound familiar? Well, you know, what happened during COVID, other alternative therapeutics that were effective being banned. So, you know, it's not just, there are so many things that are a threat to us right now, George, and the only way for us to make people aware of these very real threats to our lives, and I mean that, is our ability to speak freely. The social credit system that they're trying to implement and import from China, as Klaus Schwab praises China for the way they run their government, and Trudeau does the same, this system that they are trying to bring in from China. I've heard Chinese residents saying, oh, no, we like the social credit system because it teaches us how to behave. It teaches us how to behave. That should alarm any free-thinking person on the planet. So we are at great, great risk, and the only way to combat this is still have the ability to speak freely and have free press. That's what Z Media does. That's what many other independents do. We have to have that right. So I will fight tooth and nail for that, George, not because of me. My debanking isn't about me. This is about every Australian and what the repercussions for them will be one day, eventually, if we don't stop this, for simply disagreeing or thinking for themselves and not, you know, in line with what the ABC says they should think.
That's all I can say to that. Now, one thing that I should have asked earlier, but I just want to make sure that we cap off on this. When Nine News featured you as part of this apparently conspiracy theorist echo chamber, that they were saying that the words coming out of your mouth was directly leading people to become domestic terrorists. That's essentially what they were saying.
Yes.
What you were talking about, from my understanding, was a press release that was issued by the Australian Army on how they were now training troops up in Townsville on how to deal with civilian protests.
Yes.
That's what you were talking about, wasn't it?
Yes, that's exactly what I was talking about, and I quoted directly from the defence.gov.au publication. I didn't make it up. I quoted from the government's own publication.
And so talking about that makes you a conspiracy theorist, even though that press release has already been put out by the Australian Army, so they must be conspiracy theorists as well. And apparently talking about that leads to people becoming domestic terrorists. So I don't get that, but apparently that's where we are now. That's where we are. If we relay something that we don't agree with that an agency of government such as the Australian Army is doing, and I think there's a lot of reasons not to agree with training troops on how to deal with civilian protests.
Yes, I agree.
There are a lot of reasons to actually oppose that and to be highly critical about that.
Absolutely. And especially given the way that police, who I support all the way, by the way, the role of police in society is needed, but the way that they treated Australians like absolute goons when they were given orders to do so, we should be concerned, George. And let me say in closing, we will not back down to these people, regardless of what they've done to me. We will keep speaking the truth, and every Australian should do the same. Thank you so much, George.
Thank you, Maria. We've got to keep fighting on this one. It's so important. That was Maria Zee, independent journalist, zmedia.com. And you're here on The George Christensen Show, here as part of TNT Radio.